All right, we are live. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Bijou Banter. Today, we are live once again because we enjoy doing this live and it's fun. And in the Zoom studio today, we've got me, Calvin Lesery, Orson Cod, Daniel McGregor Hoyer, and Matthew Huh. We're talking about two movies, as per usual. We're going to be talking about Bad Trip and Concrete Cowboy. Bad Trip, we're going to start off with. It's the new Eric Andre movie. It's about him and Lil Rel Howie. And he gets into scrapes and pulls a bunch of pranks on people. What did we think?
I'm not like the biggest Eric Andre fan, not because I don't like him. It's just because I've never seen like his show, but I like know his shtick and everything. And this was funny, but it was not to me personally on the same level as like Borat kind of funny or Bad Grandpa. It just felt very not immature, but it was like very, just one-sided, if that makes sense. Like it was just joke scene. Like I know they tried to have like an overarching story, but like it just felt like they were just trying to move from joke to joke. But overall, the jokes made me laugh, so that's what the most important thing is. There were some really funny ones.
I absolutely loved this because I really love the Eric Andre show. I briefly talked about it when we talked about TV shows here on Banter. And I just really love the absurdity of Eric Andre's style of comedy while also pulling pranks on just unsuspecting people, just trying to go about their daily life. And I actually think this is, in a way, on par with Borat in terms of its ambition and of how it's telling this story. Sort of pulling pranks on people because I was very impressed with just how elaborate it is. And in a weird way, the movie does actually flow really nicely. I mean, the story is ridiculously simple and it's almost, it exists for no reason other than just for the pranks to happen. But on top of that, it's just so funny. Like, I was watching this with some friends and we were just like dying of laughter. And because it's just so, like, it's so quick and just out of nowhere, and just it goes in directions that I was not expecting. And I went into this movie knowing that I was going to enjoy it because I really like Eric Andre and the Eric Andre show. But I actually think my high expectations were surpassed. I really, really thought this was a fantastic movie.
I really love Eric Andre too. I mean, I remember my mom's not watching, but I used to go downstairs at night, watch Adult Swim at night, and Eric Andre happened to be one of the shows I was on. And I really love the show. Like, he just has this very absurdist type of humor that I would say it's kind of Monty Python-esque, but I feel like there's a little bit more structure to his humor. Like, he always breaks the desk at the beginning. There's a few pranks. He brings in a guest, and that guest is either weirded out or playing with the joke. And then he brings in the musical act, which is always pretty funny to me. Like, those are always the funniest parts of the show. So with the movie, I really enjoy Eric Andre, but I loved watching it. Like, I really liked the people's general reactions to the things happening and stuff like that. Like, I really loved how he brings this absurd humor and uses like more of the prank types stuff that he did in his show. But I always felt like that stuff was greater in small doses. And even though they were funny, it didn't necessarily grab on to me the way like his show did, because like his show was such a rush in the span of 15 minutes. And with this, it's like it's an hour movie. And sometimes it's like you want to take a little bit of a break from some of the stuff. Like, even like with Borat and Borat 2, like they at least take some of the break with some breaks with the characters. And just from the pranks and really try to emphasize some commentary or do something with Borat's character. But with this, I didn't latch on to Eric Andre's character that much, even though I love Eric Andre. I mean, I really like I said before, I really like the absurd style of humor. But I just wasn't really grabbed by this film, but I think it's still a genuinely funny movie, a really fun prank film. I mean, like I said, the people's reactions are very funny. But I just don't think I can really dig that deep into it.
I am definitely in the minority in this group, but I thought this movie was awful. It wasn't funny. It wasn't enjoyable. The plot that was stringing all these pranks together was so, like, ludicrously thin and not enjoyable at all. The pranks always felt like they were on the wrong people. They crossed, like, 1,000 lines, which I'll get into, which I probably won't discuss too much since we are live, but they crossed a lot of lines with a lot of the pranks. And it just wasn't fun or enjoyable. And I think Eric Andre works best in short 15-minute segments where, like, it's like prank, musical act, break desk, Hannibal Buress makes a funny joke, ha ha ha, end of show. But the pranks in the Eric Andre show, at least from what I've seen, are relatively harmless. Like, sometimes they go a little far, but they're always, like the people suffering is always Eric Andre. And here, a lot of times, I feel like the pranks cross a line and it's no longer just Eric suffering. It's also everybody watching, and they're put in these impossible situations. And maybe I'm just not the target audience for prank shows, but I thought it was just truly terrible. And since you brought up Borat, I feel like the difference between this and Borat is trying to, well, there's a lot of differences. There's two specifically that I want to talk about. Borat is trying to sort of carve into American culture and sort of be critical of it. And he especially takes a look at, like, Southern culture and is critical of that and is critical of anti-Semitism and all this. But Borat also knows when he crosses a line. Like, in Borat's subsequent movie film, there's a bit where he crosses the line and he makes sure to, like, apologize for it. And here they cross a line, like, 1,000 times, and they're just like, isn't it goofy? Anyway, back into the car that says boss B-word on it. And it's like, okay, just stop. I am fundamentally against Netflix's like speed up the movie feature, but for this one I used it because I just wanted it to be over faster. It's just bad.
I actually agree with you what you said, because Borat works better because that's a political satire. That's actually trying to have, like, a message about things. This is just a straight up comedy, and I think the jokes were, like you said, where people actually got affected by it, didn't work as well. Like the gorilla joke, okay, it started off funny, but then it just kept going and going and going and going to become more absurd with, like, all these things the gorilla was doing. And I was like, okay, it's not funny anymore, because, like, you know, how dumb do you take people to be like, oh, you know, the gorilla is doing this to the guy? Or, like, another one, which I actually thought was funny, but now thinking about it, it's like, okay, well, how would you react if you thought it was real and then learned it was a prank by some dude who was secretly filming you, is when he's throwing up in the bar and, like, the throw up gets all over the people. And, like, obviously it's, you know, probably like pudding or something, but still, they didn't know that. Like, how are you going to react to that? I don't think you'd just be like, oh, that is so funny, man. You'd probably be like, what the heck is wrong with you, dude? Oh, and another one I just remembered. And this is actually real. I saw this on my Instagram. There's a scene in the movie where, like, they get stuck in a Chinese finger trap, Eric Andre and Lil Ray Howie, and they go into the barber shop and, like, the dude pulls the knife. That was actually obviously real, but that almost caused Lil Ray Howie to walk off the movie because he was, like, just so upset because their security team was, I guess, maybe short-staffed or something. So I don't know. It's just worth noting.
Yeah, I mean, I think where this movie, I mean, I do like some of the, like, I feel like what makes some of Eric Andre's stuff in his show so funny is that he is kind of this little bit of craziness in the real world. And I feel like the reason why I don't think I was so grasped by this, like, when I'm, like, watching his show, is that they tried to make him, he's obviously the main character, and they try to make him seem like, okay, he's just a normal person, and just the weirdest things just happen to him. I mean, apart from, like, the Baskin Robbins scene where he's grabbing all the food and by his hands instead of, like, using plastic gloves or whatever. But his character is just not that intriguing, which I don't like comparing it to Borat, because obviously these are different types of movies. But at least at Borat, you can at least, like, understand the absurdity. Like, Borat's basically out of his element. Like, he's out of Kazakhstan and he's visiting America. So he's discovering America. So it makes sense for that character. Eric Andre is just a little bit of, like, it's kind of weird to say, but, like, more of, like, this, I wouldn't say straight man, but it's like a lot of things are just happening to him. And even though, like, there's that scene at the bar, it's like, I can't grasp his character. And it didn't necessarily, make me laugh that much. I mean, there's a lot of things I laughed at. The grocery store scene was pretty funny, but I just couldn't grasp his character that much. And I feel like that's probably the biggest downfall of it. Even though Eric Andre is funny, his character just doesn't grasp me that much.
Yeah, I have to agree with that, but also I wanted to go, like, his character is nothing. It's basically just Eric Andre walking around, driving a car, making fun of people. But I wanted to go back. There is, from the first, like, 30 minutes of this movie, I was pretty fine with it. I didn't really hate it. It was just kind of not a funny movie, because for some reason the pranks in this just aren't as funny as the Eric Andre Show. Like, the Eric Andre Show has that Fruit Loops prank, which I think is the funniest thing anyone has ever done. But with this, the moment where it lost me, I'm glad you brought this up, Orson, was the gorilla scene, which is just when everything just went like, okay, you don't know what you're doing. You're clearly traumatizing people and you've gone way too far and past the line. And it's just, after that, it just wasn't fun anymore. And there's another scene where Tiffany Haddish is dangling him off the edge of a building, and they're and the prank is supposed to be like, ha, what would you do? These people have to be hostage negotiators now. And it's awful. And it's just like, imagine if you were in that situation. Imagine if you were walking around and someone was being dangled off a building, and then they were like, it's a prank. It's not a funny I don't know. I really just thought all the pranks in this were just not funny.
I don't know. Like, I guess it's my really sick sense of humor or something, or maybe just because I will say we watched this after Concrete Cowboy, which we'll be talking about afterwards. So maybe because we watched that and we weren't impressed at all, and then we went over to this and we're just like, oh, this is actually a lot funnier. But it's just like, I don't know. It's just like something about just the absurdity. And I think what you're saying is totally valid. Because I'll be honest, if I were put in that situation, I don't know what I would do either. And I'd probably, in a way, be, I guess, upset in a way that's just like, oh, it's just a prank. But just watching it and just seeing how absurd all these actions play out, like, it's just like, it's overwhelming to the senses. And I do prefer Borat and for its political commentary and the Eric Andre Show just because of how short it is. But I think as a feature-length film, the amount of comedy that gets thrown at you is just like, it's too much to handle, but in like a really good way too, because just it's such like a mind-numbing experience, but it's just like, it's so freaking funny. I can't explain what it was, but it's just like seeing all these events happen, just the absurdity of it just made me laugh to tears. And I think like the gorilla scene too in particular, yeah, it definitely crossed the line. But I feel like the reason why Eric Andre did that was just because he couldn't show that on Adult Swim, and he probably had some level of freedom to this. And also, it was produced by Jeff Tremaine, who I'm not sure if I could say he created Jack A for MTV. So he probably had a lot more of like a budget, I guess, and also probably a bigger legal team to help with this sort of thing. So I don't know, just like, I feel like I was just really impressed with how much he was able to get away with, like, in a way, just traumatizing these people.
But then couldn't it be argued this is just a style over substance film, because they rather focus
absolutely, yeah. Because the plot, I didn't go, this is exactly like Godzilla versus Kong. I did not go into this movie wanting to like analyze the plot, because the plot is just completely inconsequential. Like, yeah. It's ridiculously basic. It's so predictable, but that's not the point. The plot exists just so that these pranks can happen. But it's actually, in a way, it kind of impressed me, like, out of context, if you were just observing these pranks, you wouldn't know that's being told as part of one big story. But it's edited together in a way where it actually makes some sort of sense. It's pretty linear. And it was actually done pretty well, where it's like, yeah, all these pranks happening, it does tell a three-act story, even though it's completely simple, and it's like it's not important to the movie at all. But I guess in a way it is style over substance, but it's not very substantive to begin with.
I will say that my complaint with the movie isn't really that it's style over substance, because like what you were saying, Matthew, it's like Godzilla versus Kong. You don't go into Eric Andre and think that it's going to be intelligent. Like, it's Eric Andre. He's crazy and wacky and does really weird and gross humor. It's not going to be commenting on, like, the state of economic politics in America. I appreciate Borat more because it does stuff with its pranks that this one doesn't. But also, I've never seen Jack A, and I don't think we can say it. I looked it up, and it was iffy at best. So we're going to stay. But you know what we're talking about. The thing with Jack A is I've never seen it, so maybe it's fun, but also, from what I've seen, a lot of Jack A is them hurting themselves. Like, they sit behind a plane engine, or Steve-O does something weird and goofy and permanently screws up his voice. But with this, it always feels like it's not Eric Andre that's getting hurt, it's everybody else that's getting hurt. And I don't appreciate that much. Like, the scene where the woman is cleaning the house and then he bursts in through the glass and runs through, it's initially really funny, but then she, like, runs out of the house and hides, and it's like, oh yeah, this would be terrifying. And it's just, it's like, there's another show on Netflix, it's a prank show with Gaten Matarazzo, or whatever his name is, the kid from Stranger Things, who, Dustin, and he brings these people into these crazy situations and basically makes them think they're going to die from supernatural causes. Like, there's one with Bigfoot and there's one with killer teddy bears. And then, like, right at the last second, he pops out and is like, surprise, it's a prank. And it always feels like that kind of prank just feels like such a jerk move. And I've never understood that kind of prank, but maybe it's just that I don't have the right kind of sense of humor. I will say, though, it was very absurd. Although some of the comedy I don't think was, I mean, I didn't find much of the comedy funny, but some of it I felt was a little bit lazy. Like, when they're going around the grocery store and, like, putting a pumpkin on their heads and just sort of knocking stuff off shelves, I thought that was a little bit lazy. Some of it just seemed like, what if we did this and this? And I feel like one of the benefits of him being on Adult Swim was he had those limits. So his pranks were always slightly restricted. And so we could be a little bit more creative, but here it just feels like he's throwing everything at the wall and not a lot of it sticks.
Yeah, I mean, I think I kind of agree. I mean, I get that I love Eric Andre, but I feel like there's always just a certain limit with Eric Andre. It's kind of like how movies have always had, in the 90s, have always had a limit with Robin Williams. Because when he's off the rails, he goes really off the rails. And so I was like, okay, we gotta bring him back on the rails so we can focus on the story. And I feel like with this, it's basically off the rails, Eric Andre. And it's like they're filming a movie and nobody's aware of it, which it's basically what it is. But I feel with this one, it's just like Eric Andre, I feel like his comedy, like with the show, is just best in small doses. And even though I like to see, like, whenever he brings on a celebrity guest or puts him in the weirdest situations, like Chance the Rapper in a teacup, that's really weird. But it's just kind, I feel like he wants it to be like the reactions that get the comedy, which I feel like the reactions and the people, I did laugh at quite a bit. I mean, I really like it when he's in, when Little Ro Howie's in the cell phone store and the old ladies are reacting to Tiffany Haddish's character, or the wedding scene, which I don't think I can really go into detail with during the stream, but that I found that to be pretty funny. Or even the art exhibit, like there are parts where it's like people just reacting to the characters around them, which I feel like does bring out some good comedy. But I definitely can understand Calvin's point of view.
That wedding scene was actually the funniest thing for me. Like, throughout the whole film, the scene where he kisses the bride and then the priest says, now kiss me. And then they start making out in this sort of throuple situation, was really funny to me. And it was just so simple, which I feel like is one of the things I always appreciated about Eric Andre pranks. They were simple. Like, Bird Up was just him in a green suit walking around to people shouting, Bird Up. Or the Cheerios or the Fruit Loops prank is him just with like a cone of shame pouring milk into it with Fruit Loops. It's hilarious, but it's also so simple. But a lot of these were so weirdly elaborate, like the one where he falls off the bar roof and then starts vomiting onto everybody. It just felt, again, like he really would have benefited from just a little bit more creative control and just like one more person saying, maybe you shouldn't do this, Eric. You're a good comedian, but take a step back.
I think a lot of it was pretty elaborate, though. Like, I do, like, that bar one, I actually found pretty impressive, considering, like, when he falls off and he, like, breaks through, like, that, whatever, that breakaway bar. Or, I mean, he's like, I assume it cuts, and it's probably, like, a different take. And it's, like, obviously, but it's, like, and then he's, like, has the fake vomit probably going through his sleeve. And it's just, like, it's so goofy. But, like, even in the opening scene in the mall, too, when he's like, it's basically like Singing in the Rain. He's singing about how he's gonna go to New York to meet this girl, and then he goes into the mall and he's like singing to people, and then there's all these other workers coming, and he goes on top of like this like fake like wooden cake or something. And it's incredible, like the amount of like time and preparation that probably went into this stunt, and the fact that no one around like knows what's even happening. And it's even funnier in hindsight when you realize there's no music playing while they were filming that scene. The music was added in post, so that thought just makes it even funnier. So I do see where you're coming from, Calvin, even though it's clear that you didn't like the film and I really liked it. I do understand why you don't like it, but it's just for me, I was really just impressed with how much he was able to do with this movie. And also considering the fact that I don't know when this was filmed. It was probably filmed obviously before COVID. My guess is probably in like 2018 or 2019. Eric Andre is a really big name now. Like when he was probably filming the first season of the Eric Andre Show, he was basically a nobody. So nobody knew who this guy was. But now he's so popular that you probably have to realize that he probably filmed all these pranks like at least five, maybe 10 times, probably because people would like notice him once in a while. So they have to reset these pranks, do it all again to get the reaction that they needed, also without people not recognizing him. And that's a lot of work just to go into something so like simple. But I really commend them for going through all that effort to get these shots done and to make it really funny.
That was something, Matthew, you just brought up that I wish they kind of maybe did. I was holding out hope they would in the film, but then when the credits came and they were showing kind of like the bloopers and they didn't show it, I was disappointed, where it was like, what if someone did recognize him? Because, you know, that's with like Borat 2 and this, I was like, okay, Sacha Baron Cohen and Eric Andre are very recognizable people. Borat's like this cultural icon now to like our generation. How did nobody recognize him in a way as like being Sacha Baron Cohen? I was like, it's funny, you know, they found a clever way to tie it up in that one where it's like, oh, he's in disguises. With this, I wish they made like just a little reference that someone was like, you're Eric Andre, because like this movie was just like a wink and a nod away from just saying, yeah, we know it's a movie too. So I kind of wish they did that, but I guess, you know, maybe it would have hurt the film with what they were trying to go for, but it would have been a little funny.
At least in the bloopers, that would have been fantastic, because like you were saying, Matthew, and I do commend them for the effort that they put in, because there's bloopers of them shooting the bathtub prank, which was a pretty solid prank, I'll admit, a couple of different times. And it almost seems like a few of them recognize him, but they don't include that anywhere. And the dance number was well done too, but it just, again, like once that gorilla prank happened, like every ounce of goodwill that I had, that it had earned up from like the first prank with his clothes being torn off by the vacuum, or the musical number, or the bathtub prank. I can't believe I almost forgot the bathtub prank as I was talking about the bathtub prank. But it just feels like it just lost all respect for me after that one, just because I knew that he just didn't care about the line and he just wanted to make his movie and he just wanted to be like, oh, ha, 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 and be chaotic and aggressive and strange while he did it. And it's, I don't know. I respect the amount of work he put into it, but that's really about all I can respect from this movie. I also think, though, it would have been best if it had been like a 30-minute TV special instead of a full 90 minutes, if that makes sense. I'm not sure if anybody else feels that way, but I feel like that would have kept some of the chaotic pacing, or even just like 45 minutes. It would have kept some chaotic pacing, and they could have cut around some of the boring parts, because the story parts are kind of boring. So I was wondering what you guys thought about that.
I think they could have just cut out Tiffany Haddish altogether, because It added nothing to the movie, like, other than, you know, it's a very predictable film. You know what's going to happen. But I think they just could have had, oh, they're two friends that are kind of low lifes, you know, working not the greatest jobs, and their friendship is kind of falling apart. It's about them coming back together. But then just to throw in this whole, you know, element with the sister in jail, it just, I don't know. They could have gotten rid of that. Would have saved maybe 15 to 20 minutes of just nothing.
It is a shame that Tiffany Haddish was the worst part of this movie. I mean, not necessarily the worst part, but the worst actor in the movie. Because she's a funny person, but she doesn't have... seems like her career has sort of fallen off, which is a shame, because she's really good in everything she's in. She just chooses such not great projects. And Bad Trip was one of those not great projects, in my opinion. Yeah, I'm going to be perfectly honest. I'm going to let you all take control of the conversation now, because I've said my piece about Bad Trip, and I don't really have anything else to contribute. I think it's just a bad movie.
Yeah, I mean, I think, like, Tiffany Haddish, she is still pretty funny, but I think this movie, it just kind of felt like this character really wasn't needed that much. Because, I mean, obviously, at the end it was, but when you think about it, like, she doesn't necessarily have much of a purpose in this film, apart from giving Eric Andre and Raul Howery the car, or having them steal her car and having her chase after them. But I really felt like that her character, whenever she came on screen, I would immediately tune out. Because I don't think it was Haddish herself, but I feel like it was just that her character is not that interesting or that funny. I mean, it is kind of funny, like, say, seeing, like, the reactions of, like, the people, like, when she's, like, tearing off a policeman's car door and then she drives out. The people's reaction were pretty hilarious, but the character herself just wasn't that funny. And I really wish that if they were to have this character, I feel like it could be like a cameo, or she could pop up somewhere. But she just wasn't, I didn't feel like she really served much of a purpose throughout this film, apart from the end where she's holding Eric Andre off of building. That's all she really did throughout the film that I felt like meant something.
Well, kind of going, you know, tying this all into what some of us have been saying about the jokes going too longer than they needed to be, was the one where she's like talking to the dude who's just like painting the wall or something. And she's like just escaped from prison. And like, you know, she's kind of telling him like, oh, I'm going to go. And this dude thinks he's like helping a convict escape, where it's like, okay, the first time she left was funny, but then she kept coming back to the guy. And this dude's like, you know, he's nervous. You can clearly tell he doesn't know what to do. And she's like, okay, I'm going to go. Wait, let me just come back and talk to you one more time. No, get out of here. Okay, let me just come back one more time. And I'm like, all right, the joke's going on too long now. It's not that funny anymore, because this dude might actually think that, you know, he really is doing something that's truly horrible and unethical. So it was just weird.
Yeah, I actually agree. I mean, I like Tiffany Haddish and quite a bit of stuff. I would say she's the weakest part of the film until like the very end. I'd say is like, I really like when she breaks through the art gallery wall in the car. I was just like, that's actually really funny. But yeah, like there's some of the scenes with her, it's just like, I agree, they kind of go on a little too long. And in a way, she's kind of an unnecessary character, because it's mostly about Eric Andre and his friend going on this road trip. But It doesn't ruin the experience for me, just because it still offers a little bit more to the overall movie.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like if they just kept it as like the two best friends and the love interest, who actually, with her scenes were actually pretty funny. I really like the scene in the art gallery, like her reaction is pretty funny, and also the fantasy scenes that she had of Eric Andre, those are pretty funny. But I feel like if it was just them and the love interest, I feel like you wouldn't really miss a thing. I mean, it would be like, say, funny if, like, say they just had Haddish like in the climax, like where she's holding Andre off the cliff, and like we don't know that she's coming after them because because they took her car. And like, we don't know that this, if we're going to see this character, it would be more funny if we just saw her just randomly pop up rather than, you know, just kind of focusing on her escaping prison and interacting with this guy that they happen to take a selfie with. I feel like they could have just kept her for the climax, because I feel like it would have been much more funnier if we didn't see this character in the beginning.
You know, this movie was accidentally released on Amazon Prime last year.
Really?
Yeah, so just some background. So this was originally supposed to come out in April of 2020, but obviously because of COVID, the theatrical release was canceled. But then somehow, I don't know how this happened, but Amazon Prime Video accidentally released it on sometime in April. But then they took it down like really quickly, but it leaked out to like pirating websites. And then eventually after that happened, I forgot the production company who produced it, they sold the rights to Netflix so that they could release it, which for some reason it took them an insanely long time to release this movie, even though it was practically done. Maybe they were waiting. No, they didn't wait till after Borat 2, because Borat 2 wasn't even announced when this came out. So I think they could have released this in like last summer or something. It probably wouldn't have mattered when this came out, but it's pretty interesting. That's how I heard about it for the first time, and I was really excited about it.
Interesting. I wonder why they waited so long, though, because even though I can get that it might not be the best thing to release at the height of COVID time, because it's everybody hanging out and everything. But I don't know. It feels like they should have just released it just right away, or just released it once it got pirated, because once it gets pirated, pretty much everybody has seen it. Not that we're encouraging piracy. Please don't pirate movies. It's awful for everybody in the industry and it sucks. But I don't know, just release it. It's not like a movie that people were hotly anticipating. Just release it. There is one question that I did want to ask, though, real quick, before we get to final thoughts, which is, in your review on Letterboxd, Matthew, you said that this was sort of the Eric Andre Show, the movie, but it didn't really feel like that. It felt like its own identity and just like a small part of that show. And I was wondering... if other people felt that it was actually an Eric Andre Show movie, or if it was more of its own sort of identity.
Well, it's not literally the Eric Andre Show movie. Like, Eric Andre Show and Bad Trip are totally different, but in a way, just sort of stylistically, it did heavily remind me of it. It's basically if you took all those Man on the Street segments from the Eric Andre Show and made it into an hour and a half long movie. Like, even some of the skits he did on the Eric Andre Show are more developed further in Bad Trip. For example, the art gallery scene in this movie is, he did a sketch just like that on the Eric Andre Show, except this one was way more elaborate. And like, I knew it was going to be like that going in. It's one of those things where it's like, okay, I know they've done this before. They did it. Borat kind of does a similar idea. Bad Grandpa has done something like this too, but it's just, like, if it had Eric Andre in it, then it would be kind of something special, because Eric Andre's sense of humor is so outrageous and so just like crazy that it would be a totally different experience compared to Borat or Bad Grandpa. Admittedly, I haven't seen Bad Grandpa. I've seen clips of it, but it's probably a little more similar to this. But like, I don't know. It felt like, even though it's not in the same universe, it really did feel like an Eric Andre Show movie to me. But also keep in mind, Letterboxd, my review for it was not meant to be entirely serious. It was kind of a joke review too, but that's Letterboxd for you. There's solid film criticism and just memes.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like with this movie, I feel like it could have just been funny if it was just Eric Andre's character on the show. Like, I feel like if it did that, I feel like I would have had much more of a fun time with it, because we all know that character, and even though, like, there are people that do know this, know that character. I feel like it would just been funny if like it was just Eric Andre, Andre's character on the show instead of like this one character that is played by Eric Andre. I feel like that would have been funnier. And but anyway, I feel like this movie has an identity that is away from the Eric Andre show, but I feel like that's going to be kind of the most misleading thing when people kind of go in to watch this and see this movie expecting Eric Andre to show the movie, but it's actually just Eric Andre playing this character in a prank film. So
that all makes sense. Unfortunately, we're almost out of time for Bad Trip. So, final thoughts.
I think this is an interesting movie. It's very funny, I'll say that. While I, you know, was kind of bagging on the jokes a little bit, I do actually think they're pretty funny, and I was laughing out loud a lot during this. I think some of the jokes, like the gorilla joke, and one I'm surprised we didn't mention was the very final joke, where they kind of dress up making fun of another terrible movie. But I just didn't really think that one was that funny in general. But I think for what this movie set out to do, it made me laugh, and that's good. The story, you can't really go into this expecting, you know, the next Hamlet or whatever. But I think for what this was, it was a fun, disposable film where you can just like shut your brain off for like 90 minutes or something and just laugh if you enjoy this kind of comedy. I'd probably give Bad Trip like a 7 out of 10. I think it's worth checking out if you like and if you're a fan of Eric Andre.
Yeah, if you're a fan of Eric Andre or just really absurd, wild, hidden camera comedy, you must see this film if you would like to. I went in knowing that it was just going to be a fun time, and it totally delivered because I thought it was really, really funny, really elaborate and impressive for such a small sort of disposable movie. But I feel like it ended up being a little bit more than what I expected. And I think that's what's really impressive about it, is that it's at face value, it's just really dumb and just like really like ridiculous. But at the same time, it's just from beginning to end, I was laughing, and it was honestly the hardest I've laughed at a movie in quite a while. So with that, like, I'd say just get a bunch of friends together and check this out on Netflix if you would like to. I'm not ashamed to admit this is my favorite film of 2021 so far, and I loved it. I could easily watch it again. I'm going to give it a 9 out of 10.
I did laugh at this movie. I had fun watching it, but I feel like there are a lot of opportunities. I kind of wish it could have been funnier. And I feel like if Eric Andre was playing a different character or his character from the show, it could have been much better, because I just couldn't latch on to his character like I did with the one in the show. But it's still a pretty fun movie. I mean, take what you will out of it. But I think just probably a light 6. Out of 10, that's probably where I would put it.
This is a 1 out of 10 for me. I didn't think it was that funny. I thought it was kind of boring. It crossed too many lines. And I know I said it at the beginning, but I'm against Netflix's change the speed of the movie thing. Very happy they invented it just for this. And just to sort of sum up just how funny the movie thinks it is, it thinks the peak of comedy is imitating White Chicks for about 10 minutes at the end. And it's not funny. And it's a little bit funny at the beginning. And if you really want to watch this, I recommend that once they go to the zoo, just skip that scene. There's nothing in that scene you need to watch. And it just makes you kind of hate the rest of the movie. But yeah, that'll wrap up our conversation on Bad Trip. I almost forgot the name of the movie. I have the worst brain that has ever existed for memory. But we're going to move on to a movie that I like much more than Bad Trip. I'm not sure how other people feel about this. But it's called Concrete Cowboy. It came out on Netflix pretty recently. It's directed by Ricky Staub, written by Ricky Staub and Dan Walser. And it stars Idris Elba and Caleb McLaughlin. And it's about these sort of cowboys in Philadelphia, and not like Old West cowboys. Like, it's modern day, and they're cowboys, and they live in Philadelphia, and they ride horses, and they have a stable. And it's sort of weird and off kilter, but I kind of liked it. What did you all think?
I thought this started off really interesting, and then maybe about like 45 minutes in, I was checking my watch. I was like, we still have like an hour left. I was really bored by this. It's C-list Oscar bait. It's in, like, to me, in the same categories like Hillbilly Elegy, which we reviewed, or like at The Midnight Sky, where it's like trying to like go for like awards, but it's like, you're not going to get any awards. You're not that prestigious. So I think that sucks, because I really like Idris Elba. He's a great actor. I mean, if it were up to me, he's the next James Bond, but I don't know if that's going to happen. But other than that, this was just, yeah, kind of disappointing, because I just felt like it could have been maybe like 20 minutes shorter, and like it would have, maybe my score, which I'll reveal at the end, would have been higher. But just overall, I don't know. I thought it was just a little milquetoast.
By no means a bad movie, but a pretty forgettable one. I will say, like, I was really intrigued by the overall concept and sort of this community, because I didn't even know these people existed, and like learning about them and their sort of community and their beliefs, I'm just like, this is really fascinating. And it starts off pretty strong, but then as it goes on, they just kind of kill time and there's no real plot. It really meanders all over the place. In a weird way, it reminded me a lot of Nomadland, but not as good. Like, I think that it's more, the community is interesting, but as a film and as a story, it's pretty mediocre, and it is trying to go for Oscar bait. Although I consider Hillbilly Elegy to be a lot worse, the problem with this is that I'm not going to remember this, like right, like as soon as I turn off the movie, I'm going to completely forget I saw it. And it didn't help that I watched Bad Trip immediately after this. And I will remember that viewing experience till the day I die. But this, I'm just not going to. And it's like, there's nothing inherently bad about it, but it's not very special, I think. And I feel kind of bad saying that, because there is some interesting things about it.
This, I actually watched it this morning. It's still a bit fresh in my mind. But I did like this movie. I just wouldn't say it's going to be the best film of the year. It's kind of like one of those films, like, you know, like Cars or something. It's like you just watch and it's, I mean, and I know there's like people who hate Cars, but it's kind of like one of those movies you just watch and it's like, okay, that was kind of a good hour and a half or hour and 51. And I mean, there are things, I feel like there are a lot of good things in this movie, like Idris Elba's performance is pretty good, but I feel like the focus is more on Caleb McLaughlin, the Stranger Things kid, and he actually did a pretty good job in this movie. I was pretty impressed by his performance. And I am also pretty impressed by the fact that this is actually a real story. Like, this is a place in Philadelphia that actually has horses. Like, that is actually pretty insane. And apparently they are trying to save Fletcher Street from fading away. So they want to keep those stables alive, which is very interesting. I feel like the actual story behind this would have been a little more interesting than like this fictionalized portrayal of it, because a lot of it just kind of feels like it definitely does meander. Like, it's like, oh, we want to show Cole kind of growing into this environment, or we want to show him with his best friend Smush. And it's like, it doesn't do anything that I feel like it wants to do something that is incredibly big, but I feel like it's just trying a little bit too much. And it's, I mean, but for what it is, I like the community. I mean, it's solid. This is actually pretty solidly directed, which I was impressed by some of the camera work a little bit, but in terms, it's just kind of a movie that is generic, but I feel like I like it a little bit more than what other people would think.
I like this movie a good amount. I thought it wasn't a perfect movie, and it was a little bit boring at times, but I thought the performances were really good, especially Caleb McLaughlin, just because I've only known him from Stranger Things, and to see that he has legitimate acting chops, which is something that I'm not sure like Finn Wolfhard or Millie Bobby Brown or the sort of more lead characters in Stranger Things necessarily have. It was nice to see him finally be able to get something to himself and get the chance to actually work out his acting chops, which was nice. And it was, as you all are saying, like a fascinating community. Like it's a community that you would think exists in a like a fifth grade book that people would read in fifth grade, but fifth graders don't really like it. And it's more magical realism for adults, but it's marketed to fifth grade, if that makes any sense whatsoever. But there's just something so strange and weird, and they never address it, which is something I really appreciate. Like they address it a little bit at the end when the FBI comes to raid, not the FBI, the just ordinary police comes to raid and take their horses away. They never really address just how strange it is to just have horses sitting in a city doing horse stuff. And I really appreciated that because it didn't take the sort of obvious cliched route in that way. I will get into the cliches a little bit because it's not a perfect movie. But there's just something really cool about that. And I'm really glad you brought up Nomadland because it's very similar to Nomadland in respect to the fact that they took actual people from this community and put them in the movie and they were just go on, have fun, like be an actor. And I like this a little bit more than Nomadland. My brain recognizes Nomadland is better done than this one, but the community in this is just way more interesting than Nomadland. And I feel like it's a little bit more critical of the forces that create this community or force this community sort of into hiding and not being able to be a community than Nomadland was. Because Nomadland never really took a harsh look at poverty. It was just kind of Frances McDormand roaming around. But this does take a look at gentrification of North Philadelphia, at least a little bit. And I thought that was really interesting. And I don't know, I thought it was pretty good. I'm wondering though what you all thought, because to me this felt a little bit like just a typical Western. It didn't feel like it really played with the fact they were in a city a whole lot, aside from the sort of more drug-related aspects of the plot. And I was wondering what you guys thought about that.
Well,
Go ahead.
One thing I did like about it was sort of the juxtaposition between the urban culture and sort of this, like, you know, like this Western culture too. It's like, it's weird. It's like, it feels like a John Wayne Western sort of like put right into the middle of like urban Philadelphia. So it's weird when you see like when Caleb McLaughlin goes to hang out with his friend, like, and he's sort of like, he's like this drug dealer, and then you see like this like rap music and he's like in the cars and stuff. It's a total contrast between that and the him being in the horse stables. And you don't really like, it's hard for your brain to realize that these two wildly different, I guess, like locations are in one location. It's just so bizarre, but really interesting in a way. But I think one of the problems I have with the movie is that I just find the community way more interesting than the actual story, to the point where it's just like, why this should have just been a documentary then. Because at the very end, during the end credits, they interview some of the real life people who also play the actors, like characters in the movie. And it's just like, I feel like this is way more engaging as a real, like as a documentary. Like there's no cliches, there's no like story structure. Like it's just more observing these people, but it's a work of nonfiction. To me, I think that would make the movie a lot more interesting. Whereas as a story, I just find it so cliche and just really, really boring too. Cause like there's, I don't know if I should point out right now, but like there's one scene when Idris Elba and Caleb McLaughlin, they're just like, they have like this argument because Idris Elba doesn't want Caleb McLaughlin to hang out with what's the dude's name, Smush, that's his name. He doesn't want him to hang out with him because he's like oh, you'll get shot if he's with him. Take a wild guess at what happens to him after he says that. It's just it's so obvious, and it's like not like there's not really much of a connection between these two characters. I don't really like get much out of them, and it's such a shame because if it just focused on the community as like a real life story, then it would just be a much better viewing experience. But and it's really unfortunate that it's bogged down by that with it being a work of fiction.
I'm glad you mentioned that because I kind of agree, because the worst part of this movie is the fact that it's so cliched. It's very much a typical sort of fish out of water story. It reminded me a lot of The Last Samurai, weirdly enough, and it didn't feel like it did anything different from that movie, just in terms of like the guy comes, and this obviously doesn't have the same problematic issues that The Last Samurai does, but the guy comes from this other sort of culture and has to adapt to it. And he slowly gains the trust and he does stuff that nobody else can. Like he tames that horse. I'm not sure if that was a plot point, The Last Samurai. And if it was, it was pretty racist. But it just feels like the story does feel very cliched. It feels like a sort of cliche horse movie, which is a very specific genre, but it's like Flicka and Secretariat and a little bit of Seabiscuit. And then it's also a little bit of a modern Western, like Winter's Bone. And then it's a little bit of, I guess, The Wire maybe. And then a little bit, it just feels like a combination of things instead of being anything original, which is strange because The Community is so weird and original that I do feel like it being a documentary would have been really fascinating and interesting. And I really hope that if this gets a Blu-ray release or something in the bonus features, there's a documentary because I'd pay just to see that.
I mean, it's still pretty like fascinating. I mean, I do like what they do with this community, and it's like I said before, it's very solidly directed. Like usually movies like this can look very generic, but at least like this director really did a really great job like emphasizing some atmosphere for this community. And like really some of these shots I just really like. I really like the one where Smush is going to driving to the gas station and Caleb's standing on the corner. I found that to be pretty, and like that was a really good shot. Or the one where they're under the sewers. Like this is very well shot and very well edited. So I'm actually pretty interested to see if this director does more down the road, because this is a talent, because it's just very solidly directed. It is kind of, I do kind of wish I would have seen a little bit more, like either they could have done this as a, they could have just kept it nonfiction a little more and make the real life story much more fascinating. Because I feel like if they did that, I might have been intrigued in the plot a bit more, because it's just going for the typical motions that a movie like this would, like typical fish out of water. And we've seen it before, like it's been done. And this is like a type of, this has always been done to death. I just really, if they took a nonfiction type approach, I feel like this would have been much better.
I'm really glad you mentioned the directing, because the directing was superb and fantastic to a point where there's a lot of scenes that are supremely tense and just so engaging to watch. There's a scene where McLaughlin is trying to sort of not saddle up, but tame this Bronco or whatever kind of horse it was that's escaped, and he's trying to get on it. That was really tense. The way they were all sort of holding the line as a human fence was really cool. And there's that scene where they're being chased by the sheriff, quote unquote, who is this guy who used to be a cowboy and then traded it up to be a part of the city brass, I believe is how Idris Elba put it. And they're passing all these pillars, and one passes and then it cuts to the sheriff running, and then another passes and then it's them running and then the sheriff and then them. And there's a lot of scenes that are just brilliantly tense, but it just suffers a little bit from the writing. And I just feel like if the writing had been more original, or if the writing had taken a few more risks, or maybe if it did the thing that I respect that it didn't do and looked at just how strange it was that there are horses sitting in a building in Philadelphia, maybe it would have been a little bit better. But I still enjoyed the film. I think the moments in this film sort of surpass the negatives of this film for me.
I just thought the scene with like where the sheriff, you know, they're obviously taking the horses away, you know, he's clearly not on their side at that moment. And then like 10 minutes later, they're breaking in to steal the horses. And he's like, it's okay, you can go, I guess. I was like, that's just so like cliche. And it's just very cheesy. And that was a moment where I just checked out, because, you know, that it was just overdone. I felt like it was just very out of place. I mean, it wasn't out of place, but it was just very, I guess the word, yeah, it's just lazy.
It's a pretty weak conclusion, and also as a storyline too, I think it's incredibly weak, because I'll be frank, not much happens throughout this movie. It's just sort of Caleb McLaughlin like just sort of doing stuff around the stables and then hanging out with Smush. They nearly get mugged because they're like Smush is doing this drug deal, and then they get chased by like the sheriff or something. It's just like there's not a lot of stuff going on in this movie. I think that's part of the problem too. Whereas, and you could argue that in Nomadland, not a lot of stuff happens too, but at least that one had really, really nice imagery too. And like, I think that one was better directed than this too, but just like, I don't know, it had a hard time grabbing my attention at points, especially after the first 20 minutes, because the first 20 minutes were pretty good. I was like, you know, this is a good start. I'm interested. I want to see where it's going. And then it doesn't go anywhere. And it's really disappointing because it's like it was right there. Like you hooked me in, but you just didn't follow through, unfortunately.
I mean, I think the biggest difference between this and Nomadland is that the setting is kind of, even though it's a real setting, they said it's a fictionalized version of the setting. And I feel like if they either took, or if they kind of did something where there was an approach where it could be somewhat nonfiction like Nomadland and could have had a little bit more meaning, or maybe, I don't know, cut some of the storylines a bit, I feel like it would have been better, because like Matthew said, with Smush and the horse stables, like these feel like completely different movies. Because I mean, I don't know, I would have been interested to see like Smush interact with a horse or something like that, and combining those two plot lines, but they're so separate from each other. And then it makes it feel like a drastically different film when you choose a plot line. And I feel like if they can kind of like have them coincide with each other a bit more, if we see Idris Elba interact with Smush, or see Smush at the horse race or whatever, I feel like it would have been, I think it would have been a risky choice, but I feel like if you combined those elements, it would have helped out a bit, but it didn't do that. I think it just played it a bit safe in that regard. But I do feel like the directing does save this film. It really saves it along with the cast. And I think if it didn't have that direction or this cast, I feel like it wouldn't have been as effective.
Unfortunately, we're almost out of time for Concrete Cowboy and this entire episode of Bijou Banter along with it. So final thoughts.
I just thought it was very bland. It wasn't really anything special. It had like some super cool ideas, and Idris Elba's actually pretty good in it for what he's given to work with. And so is Caleb McLaughlin. You know, these Stranger Things kids are also showing they can break out of just being typecast as like, oh, we're kids that, you know, we're 20, but we look like we're 16. I don't think he's 20 actually, but still. I think it just suffers from being too cliche though, and just too boring. Like maybe if it had been like 10 to 15 minutes shorter, it would have been more entertaining, but the fact that it's almost 2 hours, I was just checking my watch a couple of times, like how much longer does this have? So I'm probably going to give it a 5 out of 10.
There's some good stuff and there's some not so good stuff, but overall it's a pretty harmless movie, but I'm never going to watch it again. I think it should have been a documentary. If it were a documentary, then it would have been a much more engaging and enjoyable watch, in my opinion. But as a fictional narrative, it suffers from so many cliches and sort of just like a really meandering and bland storyline. It's not the worst thing ever, but at the same time, it's just aggressively mediocre and kind of dull. I'm also going to give it a 5 out of 10.
I mean, I'd say without the direction and the performances, I feel like this movie would have just been more generic than it already was. But I feel like with the direction and how it was presented with like the camera work and the editing, I think that's like the biggest saving grace of this film. And also the real life story is probably also the biggest saving grace as well. Not the real life story, but the real life setting. So I would say put this a bit higher, like probably 6 out of 10, 7 out of 10 even. I think that's as far as I'll go.
I really enjoyed this movie. I realize that it suffers from a lot of cliches and it's not the best written, but there's a lot of stuff that's interesting to me, or a lot of scenes that are really well done. And so I'm going to give it an 8 out of 10. It was fun. I enjoyed myself. And it's a really interesting portrait of a community that I didn't know existed, and it's really weird and cool. Although I do have a few ethical qualms about keeping horses in a city. Not sure how well that actually works out, but I might be wrong about that. Maybe the horses are perfectly happy, but I don't know. I'd have to do more research on that. But that'll wrap it up for this episode of Bijou Banter. Be sure to tune in next time if you want, where we're going to be talking about Another Round, the new Mads Mikkelsen movie, and Dick Johnson is Dead, which some of us watched at True False last year and were mad that it didn't get an Oscar nomination. But I've been Calvin.
I've been Orson.
I've been Matthew.
And I've been Daniel.
We will see you all next time. Bye-bye.